When the people of God began to stray from God's plan, God would send prophets to speak to the people and call them into account. God would try to reaim the people. Each of the prophets were sent to speak into a particular moment, often with a particular issue to confront. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, Amos, Micah are a few of the 15 prophetic books in the Hebrew Scriptures. These two verses are clear and concise reminders. Micah 6, verse 8. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Jeremiah 22, verse 3. Thus says the Lord, act with justice and righteousness and deliver from the hand of the oppressor anyone who has been robbed, and do no wrong or violence to the alien, the orphan, and the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. This morning, I'm going to start a sermon series on justice, on doing justice. It should be something that we've all figured out since kindergarten. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Don't cheat, folks. But it turns out that even the people of God, the children of Israel, had to have prophets sent to correct the course. That if left to our own devices, some folks have figured out how to let selfishness win, greed win. It's just not as simple as saying, all right, I've been treated fairly, so I'm good. I don't need to do anything. White, male, Protestant, middle class in the United States, if that was the case, I would never talk about anything. I sit in a pretty privileged chair, right? When I was reading one of the books this year, and it talked about the fact that the woman who lived across the street from the police station couldn't let her 4 or 5 year old child go out and play in their front yard with little cap guns for fear that they would be killed because they would mistake that gun for a real gun. All I could think of was, I played with guns all the time. Why would anybody need to shoot at somebody who's 4 or 5 playing with a cap gun? To remind me that my life experience and others' life experience are a little bit different. So this morning I'm going to talk a little bit about what is justice and why I should be able to talk about it in church, so that over the next 3 more Sundays I can talk a little bit deeper. My hope is that all of us will take a little challenge to look at things from all the different sides we can and try to figure out where fairness is. Does that seem fair enough to you? I'm going to tread as lightly as I can today, and we'll see if I get kicked out of the church tomorrow. And if I don't get kicked out, I'll be back for more. Prophets always, and preachers who speak in the prophetic voice, always seem to get themselves in hot water. They kill prophets. There are 2 voices that people who speak the word of God from Scripture get to speak out of. One is the priestly voice. It's the, let's pray, let's walk through the sacraments and work towards forgiveness. That's the priestly voice, the one who on our behalf tries to do stuff in connection to God. And then there's the prophetic voice, which is God speaking back at us through someone and saying, look, you're off course. We know, looking back through history, that child labor probably wasn't the best thing ever. Can I get an amen? And yet it took a group effort to push on society to stop child labor and enact child labor laws, because the folks who had money were willing to use children to go do whatever they could get small bodies to do. And it's hard to keep children safe, even in safe conditions. But to put them in a factory seemed to be ridiculous. And children were dying, and so we stood up against that. We look back now and we say, clearly slavery was wrong. But there were preachers who stood up in pulpits and churches that split because the economy needed, or so they thought, to have slavery as part of their marketplace in order for folks to benefit. The scripture from Jeremiah said, I want you to look out for the poor, the orphans, the widows, the oppressed, the aliens. And here's that scope. I want you to look out for, be on the lookout, to care for those folks who don't have power, who can't speak up for themselves. So it doesn't have to be just one of those small groups. It's those folks who don't have power need to not be treated unfairly. You go into a court of law, who has power? A judge has power. Anybody else in the room have power? Attorneys have power. Anybody else in the room have power? The jury has power. Who doesn't have power? And if we think about it, those folks who have been hurt beforehand, they're having to respond to their lack of power with this kind of... But if we're not careful, especially poor folks without proper representation end up in a position where the process isn't as just as we would like to say it, like we'd like to see it. Some of you in this room will think, man, are you going slow? And other folks in this room are going to say, man, are you meddling? I get that. So here's why I think I should be able to talk about justice. Because there were 5 books of the law in the Old Testament. There were, I think, 12 history books in the Old Testament. 1 Kings, 2 Kings, Chronicles, those Judges. 15 to 17 books in the Old Testament were prophets. The largest part of the Old Testament is the prophetic witness. And so I invite you to pick one of those and read one of the books. Some of them are shorter than others. If you don't want to read a lot, don't read Jeremiah or Isaiah. Maybe Amos would be a good place to start. Maybe Micah. But there is a great history of who we are as church and in relationship to God, that there be conversation around justice, about treating folks appropriately. All through the ancient history of the law, there were Jewish rabbis and teachers who were making little annotations in the book that said, all right, so here's what that means. You can walk this many steps on a Sabbath, but not a step further. Because they were trying to find that nuance, that middle line where it's okay to do a little bit because you can't not do anything on the Sabbath. You know that there are some Jewish families who actually hire somebody to come in and turn on the light switch and turn off the light switch? Because that's perceived as a violation of Sabbath rule of doing something. And now the great blessing is there's automatic timers. So they put in the right kind of smart devices, and all of a sudden their lights magically come on at the right hour and go off at the right hour. I'm not sure that's exactly what God meant by keep the Sabbath. Just saying. I'm also aware that talking about justice pushes on our brains a little bit. It's more complicated. It's more advanced. Sometimes it takes a little maturity to understand. Richard Rohr talks about the fact that during the first 25 years or so of our life, we are figuring out what the rules are, who we are and what the rules are. And after 25, then it's okay for us to figure out where it's okay to bend on the rules or not. But a 16-year-old should not have a good excuse. I mean, there's no excuse for a 16-year-old speeding, right? Now, some of you have justified this to yourself a lot, so we won't go there. Is there a good reason to speed, to run a red light, if it's a safe enough condition to run a red light, to save somebody's life? If you've got somebody in the back seat that's about to bleed out and the ambulance was going to get there slower than you could get them to the hospital and you stop for red lights, I'm going to think you're nuts, right? But maturity allows us to go, here's where the line is in here. Being late for an appointment is not good reason. Have any of you ever sped to get someplace on time and you were running late? Oh, come on! Part of what we want to try to lean into, and sometimes it's hard to understand because we don't know all the different sides to the issue, but we're looking for an appropriate response, not too hard one way or the other, not too lenient, not too, what's the other end? Not too punitive. That's a good word. There is this fine, narrow band where the scale stays in the right place. Whoops, I broke it by putting my finger on it earlier. I may have to bring some stuff out here. I got a paper clip. I'm going to need more paper clips. I want and I will touch on some issues as I talk about justice, and I think that it's appropriate for our conversation to touch on issues that sometimes feel political, but I want to for you to understand I'm intending to be nonpartisan. There are issues that government and church organizations and other businesses address that become part of the political mess. But my My responsibility and your responsibility as a Christ follower is for trying to stay biblical and to work within the boundaries of what we're called to do. I want you to know that even though I have a bully pulpit on Sunday morning, I'm not immune to having good, deep conversations. So if you want to have a conversation and have a different angle, please engage me. And let me say out front, I may say stuff today that next week I fix, because that fine balance is something worth being in conversation about. I'm also aware that in previous churches, there was one, the previous church I served, I would always use as my example women owning so many pairs of shoes, which I thought was kind of funny until at a gentleman's funeral who worked as a salesperson at Belk's, his coworker stood up and said, yep, he always came in Sunday morning after a Sunday morning where you talked about women's shoes. Guess what he sold at Belk's? And I'm not intending, I'm trying to be a little broader than that. I want to use concrete examples, knowing full well that there are lots of implications. Is that fair enough? I think that's all the disclaimers I have. Used to be that the key difference between Republicans and Democrats were who was going to pay for it. How was it going to get funded? Was it going to be private or was it going to be government? Lower taxes if it's private, less government if it's private, Republican. If it was Democrat, more government, more taxes. There was a time when we were all trying to address the same issues with a similar set of values and try to come at it, but it was really a debate about how will it best be served, how will it best function. And so I want to remind us of those days in saying that the values underlying those things are sometimes a place where we agree. Can I say that we agree that Christians are called to help the poor? But how we do that, we'll have a little discussion about. Am I right? Some folks will say the government needs to do some part of it, and some things about the tax code are fair and some things aren't. Is that right? So I meddle here. I can talk about values, but don't meddle here. All right, I'm going to try. I think it's easiest to see injustice in the past or in another country. When we talk about human rights, it's great. It's easy to talk about human rights in another country. But it's a little more tricky when we start trying to figure it out in our own backyard. Human rights, fairness, child labor, slavery, unfair treatment of refugees or indigenous peoples. What I came to as I was thinking as much as I could about this was that oftentimes the reason that justice gets pulled one direction or another is because of... Turns out the scales of justice were all the scales about justice, because there were folks who had figured out how to make it look like it was a 5-pound thing, and so the scale got biased. And that goes back as far back as, I don't know, the Phoenicians trying to figure out how to do trade fairly. This much gold allows for the scales to be even. So consider this. Who benefits financially if we skew the scales one way or the other? Maybe that has to be part of our discussion. I really want to tell you, just trust me, this is what the Bible says. I mean, otherwise we have to go through all those prophets. But the problem is, preachers in the past have told you, trust me. And those preachers were still learning, or they had learned from previous preachers who were still learning. And so sometimes, don't trust me. Look it up. Read it for yourself. Fair enough? Start with Amos. we'll go from there. And just because a preacher is on TV does not mean they're the smartest, most educated person in the room. If it's on TV, it doesn't make it true. Fair enough? Sometimes it's important for us to spend some time thinking about hard things and disagreeing with each other so that we can find out where the lines are. Part of what justice means is differentiation. It means we don't try to treat everybody exactly the same, because for some folks it's intentional and for some folks it's not. And so you can't always write such blanket statements. I think it should be okay for somebody to have a pass on running a red light at 4 a.m. if somebody's bleeding in their back seat and they may die. That's different from than somebody driving through a red light at full speed with the intent of trying to T-bone, right? So differentiation, accommodation. We make accommodation in courts for folks who have got mental illness, right? So part of justice is accommodation. And I think sometimes we've got to think about the implications. What are the implications? If we set this rule, does that mean it works for everybody? I think it's important that we make sure from the outset that we differentiate justice from revenge. The reason the law of the Jewish people said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth was because they were tired of people dying because they poked somebody's eye out. It was not, please do at least this much. It was, you can only do this much. If they stole your, you know, a day's worth of corn out of your field, you can't take their cow. It has to be appropriate and balanced. But we sometimes think, oh my gosh, we should be able to, they ruined my life, I'm going to ruin theirs. There's justice and revenge are two different things. On my list of things to talk about, and I'm not sure if I'm going to get to all these things, is poverty and the death penalty and for-profit prisons and race and gender and wealth. But I'll skip those this week. Is that all right? I think it's worth us having some conversations about what's important and what's not important and listening to each other in a way that allows us to get a little deeper. Sometimes we allow for ourselves to have some shortcuts in our thinking, and I'm going to challenge those shortcuts. I think that some of the theology that's in Scripture was bad people deserve bad things, and so if bad things happen to you, it must mean you are a bad person. Do you see that in Scripture? And good people deserve good things, so if good things are happening, you're automatically good. Well, that's not always true. Have you ever had good things happen and you weren't always the best person? You ever get more than you deserve? You think others have ever gotten less than they deserve? All right, just checking. We believe or think and take a shortcut when we think that competent people become successful and successful people become rich, and therefore rich people are competent. We think that criminals lie. So if a person is in jail and they say they are innocent, since they're a criminal because they're in jail, they must be lying. And so we lean the scales towards them lying. Courts are supposed to be fair. So if you get accused and get convicted, then of course you actually are guilty. Have we ever released somebody from prison knowing full well that they were not guilty? So it's harder work than just very simple. Justice is about fairness, but it's not simple fairness. It's about understanding our values and what part of this is important. When I was reading the Coates book this past year, one of the things that really struck me as a white man was that we often equate justice with safety. If I feel safe, then everything is right with the world, and it must be just. And if I don't feel safe, then, oh, my gosh, we need to change some rules and get more police and have more guns and deport more folks and have less freedom so that I can feel safe, darn it. But we don't look at each one of those things because at that moment we're feeling unsafe. We don't always make the best decisions we can when we're feeling unsafe. We did a lot to laws right after 9/11. Did you notice that? People didn't even have a chance to read the whole thing. And it passed because we needed some kind of response. I'm looking for appropriate response. Now, we're not going to go out because of Fort Lauderdale and say nobody can ever fly with a gun again. But there needs to be some kind of appropriate response so the rest of us feel protected, right? Because, Lord have mercy, we all go to airports. We shouldn't have to get our checked luggage in a bulletproof vest. The sad part is it's as simple as do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's the simple part about justice. We belong to an organization in our community called FAITH. It's part of Volusia County, and it's throughout Volusia County. And it's an organization that tries to speak into those places where people don't have power. And each year we choose a particular subject to try to address to help folks who are without power to have fair treatment. That's the whole thing. People without power are getting fair treatment. Right now, part of what we're doing along with a number of different organizations throughout Florida is to try to change a law on the books so that minors who do non-serious misdemeanor offenses don't have to get a violation that will cost them the rest of their lives. Listen to this story from Volusia County. In 2014, just 2 years ago, a seven-year-old girl in Volusia County was arrested for bringing an old-fashioned pencil sharpener to school. She was arrested for bringing one of those little tiny pencil sharpener that has the blade in it so that you twist it, because it was considered a weapon. I don't know about you. I would have never guessed that. I can imagine having given my seven-year-old as an adult that particular thing and sent them on their way. She was arrested. She will now carry an arrest record into adulthood, which will likely bar her from scholarships, military service, gaining some kinds of employment. She's one of over 600 people in Volusia County and one of 13,000 persons in the state of Florida who were arrested that year for committing non-serious misdemeanor offenses. As part of the listening process, I heard somebody say that someone, a small child, got arrested for trespassing because they went in the neighbor's yard to get the ball. There's got to be a line. And let me be clear, this is non-serious offenses. I don't think somebody should get a life-changing arrest record for bringing a pencil sharpener to school. A pretty clear understanding of why that's not appropriate is okay, but an arrest record? Jesus said, and I'm using Luke 11, 37 through 42. While he was speaking, a Pharisee, now we remember who the Pharisees are? Pharisees are the really good religious folks who are law-keeping to the absolute letter of the law, invited him to dine with him. And so he went in and took his place at the table. The Pharisee was amazed to see that he did not first wash before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You fools, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? So give alms. So give for alms those things that are within, and see, everything will be clean for you." And here's the verse that I think is critical. "But woe," Jesus says, "woe," which either can mean I grieve for you or I curse you. I grieve for you, Pharisees, you devout religious professionals and lawkeepers, for you tithe mint and rue and herbs of all kinds and neglect justice and the love of God. It is these things you ought to have practiced without neglecting the others. Micah says we have to do justice. Just because we're sitting pretty does not mean we are off the hook. All Christ followers have to be in the game related to justice. So we'll have conversations in the week coming forward, and we will talk about how do we try to propel ourselves, our community, our world towards justice. Justice is not something we sit back and watch happen. We have to all be justicing. Yeah, I just made that up. Do justice. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, help us to be better at following you. So stir in us this sense that allows us to see where you are calling us to be part of the community that cares for the oppressed, for the aliens, for the widows and the orphans, those without power, especially when they are being treated unfairly. Let us be advocates of your justice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.